Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
And Chris here.
Chris, how's it going?
Good. It's been a good week. I've been really pleased with the weather, and I'm not hurting as bad. So
yeah, weather's
I know I talked about it last time, but it's just gotten better.
Yeah. No, this is... We've had a really pleasant week. You know, as I've said more than once, I am doing my daily work thing out on the back porch, and this has been a great week for it, man. This, you know, little shade, nice weather, just been great. I've really enjoyed it, and I think it's just a little... I'm sure we're going to get some more heat sooner or later.
Yeah, but right now I'm just going to enjoy what I can enjoy.
No, it's just a nice little harbinger of fall weather that is always, like, you know, my favorite weather of the year.
Yeah, more than welcome with me, because I love it too.
So, and that kind of ropes into what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, fall flavors are coming up.
And
it's more than just the pumpkin spice, which is usually popular, and I'm a fan, don't get me wrong.
I'm not as much. It's a little overdone for my taste, but...
Yeah, it is overdone. I'll admit that. But I love the flavor. And my wife is mapping out where we're going to go in the next few weeks. Because she loves it too.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, well,
Man. Hey, before we get rolling on our topics, though, we need to thank our listeners, because you guys tune in week after week. I know, looking at the numbers, we get a few more of you every week. That's so gratifying to
love each and every one of you. Appreciate you joining us here. Yeah. We're having a great time.
You know, you guys reach out to us, say, hey, I like this, I like that, I got use out of this. God, that makes this part of this so much
better.
It's a useful thing for us. It's gratifying for us to hear that. And, you know, hey, if you guys want to reach out, if you're going to join those that already have, info@themeadhouse.com. You can also find us on Facebook at The Mead House.
And something we forgot to do last time. We didn't tell them all the places they can find us now.
Yes. I've lost the list since then. So
it's a bunch of places.
Yeah. You can find us on, I think we are still trying to get on to
Spotify and
Amazon.
Amazon. They're just tough.
They're the bigger platforms, but they are the tougher platforms. Guys, thank you so much, though. We appreciate you guys tuning in week after week, listening to us, hearing what we have to say, and responding. And hey, we've got all these new platforms. If you have the ability to do so on your platform of choice, rates, reviews, you know,
give us some 5-star if you love what we're doing.
Yeah, we
appreciate if you see something we can do that would do better, tell us that too. We're
absolutely
open.
We're thinking about, you know, what we can do to make this, you know, a little bit nicer for you guys too. I mean, we're talking about doing videos. We talked last week about some live soda videos.
Live soda videos, yeah.
We'll see. Or the prune juice. Sorry, dude.
Damn, I can't believe you wrote me into that. Yeah. I keep trying to stall you on that one, but it's not going to work. I know it's only going to be so long.
But yeah, no, guys, if there's stuff you would like to see us do, whether it's, you know, live stuff or what have you, let us know. Also, we're in kind of early talks about, you know, merchandise or putting the Patreon back up again. And like,
yeah, we'd love to do it, guys.
What kind of rewards would you guys like? What kind of stuff would you guys want to buy? I mean,
I know we're creative genius and all, but what do you want?
Yeah, this is a two-way street, guys. So, you know, reach out if you got ideas or you got stuff that you want to request, because we are always happy to hear you out. We've had some really fun listener idea episodes in the past, and those are always a great, you know, little way to spend an hour and chat and see what we come up with. So,
Jeff and I, when we get a listener request, we will literally sit down and go, ooh, okay, how can we do this?
All right, yeah, no, we are not shy about taking your guys' requests or, you know, what you want to hear, because absolutely, we will do that. Hey, you know who else we need to thank, though?
Box and Barley Corn.
Box and Barley Corn have been supportive of us from the very get-go.
And, you know, they are so cool about it. When we mentioned we're going to start this up again, they offered. Right. We didn't solicit. They offered it. Yes. That's cool, guys.
You know that I'm not a big person on as far as, hey, let's do ads and stuff like that.
Seek out sponsorships. No, neither of us are.
Yeah, no, no.
We do this because we love it, not because we're changing careers.
Right. Yeah, no. No one's making money at this. In fact, this is just kind of enabling the ways we're spending money on our hobbies we already had.
Unfortunately, true.
But Bacchus has been so good to us, and they are such a great resource for the homebrewing community as a whole, especially in these times where homebrew stores are closing left and right. They really are. And Bacchus has been around for
57 years.
Yeah. A long time. They are such a great resource for people, whether you're doing the online shopping or you're going in person. And,
And if it has to do with fermentation, they got it. I mean, not
right.
just beer, wine, and mead. They have cheese, they have kombucha, they have yogurt.
Right.
Just bring it up, guys.
I was in there a week ago and I was like, when I was working here before, at one point or another, we had sake yeast. I wonder if they still have that. You know what? They still have that.
They still have that.
They
Well, there
still
you
have
go.
sake yeast. They still carry sake yeast in stock. And am I going to make sake eventually? Maybe sometime,
Really?
not immediately, but
Okay, well.
it's a fine
Let
line.
me do that because I'd like to, be at least a
Fly on the wall.
fly on the wall for that one. That'd be
Yeah.
kind of fun to watch, at least.
Well, hey, if you guys have fly on the wall projects or random ideas that you need help getting into fruition, reach out. Bacchus and Barleycorn is great for that. And hey, you can also save yourself 10% on your purchase
Yeah,
using our code
MPH10.
MHP10.
Damn it, I did it again.
You did it again. MHP10
MHP10.
for 10% off your purchase from the Mead House podcast.
Would you believe I had it right in my head before I said it?
I believe that.
Yeah, and
I
I
mean,
did, so.
it's that whole brain to mouth communication thing that kind of gets frizzly frazzly.
And I don't do well at it, I'll be honest. My brain and my mouth don't talk a lot.
So, meat of the day. This is a kind of a sideways fall flavor on our fall flavors episode.
And I even said, Jeff, when we chose it, is this is more like an all year for a lot of people, but still, it's more of a fall flavor to me.
This is Higher Grounds coffee mead from Sap House Meadery. This, to my recollection, doesn't taste like black coffee. It has coffee flavors, but it's also has a wider profile. So I'm excited to see Chris try this and see what he thinks of it.
And straight up, I'm not a big coffee person. I don't. I'm just not even, I can't. You can't find coffee in my house unless my son brings it home. But I'll be honest, I'm a tea guy. But in the interest of experimentation and expanding my worldview,
This kind of has a medium to dark amber kind of color. It's very light, but it has some darker undertones to it.
yeah.
And
If you look straight on, it's clear, a light amber. If you just pay attention a little bit to the side edges, it's darker.
yeah,
Yeah.
it has a darker kind of shade to it.
But and it smells very strongly of coffee,
Yeah, it has a kind of
blunt.
a coffee, chocolatey kind of a roast to it.
And I'm tasting very subtle on the chocolate, but a lot heavier on the roast part. So.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the honey is the forward to me.
Yeah.
It is up
But
there
right in the
primary.
middle of the tongue is that coffee.
There's coffee, there's roastiness. It is a coffee bean.
It's a
It
coffee meat.
does taste like coffee. That's not to say it tastes like a cup of coffee.
It
It
does
is.
not. I will. Okay, this tastes like, to be a little oblique here, it tastes like what coffee smells like. Not the taste of coffee, but the smell of coffee
Okay.
to me.
And I think my wife has kind of the same impulse of, oh, coffee smells nice. It just doesn't taste good. Kind of an idea. Yes.
But this actually tastes like, to me, what coffee smells like. So it's not bad.
It's.
Oh, that's
Do you, as a not coffee drinker, enjoy this? And you can be honest.
Let's see here. Well, not going to have a full glass when you're done, but I probably wouldn't buy it. I'll be to be,
Fair.
and it's the coffee flavor is a little strong in my case. I mean, I like it more subtle for me. Is it bad? No. But I will enjoy what I have and what's in the bottle here with you, but no, I wouldn't buy it myself.
Fair. Yeah, no, it's I remember more, and I get as I taste it, I get kind of like a roundness or like a kind of a dark red fruitiness on the outside edge, like the edge of my tongue as I'm tasting the roastiness, but it is still unmistakably coffee. And
Yeah.
it's not bad by any stretch. This is a very nice
If
coffee.
you're a coffee person, you will
Right.
definitely enjoy this coffee because it's not. And I'll be honest. If I had some oat milk or a almond creamer, I'd probably throw it in here. I'd be just fine. I'll be very blunt about that. I mean, I'm not a big coffee person, like I've said many times, but this isn't bad by any stretch.
Yeah, no, this is a very nice mead, first and foremost, and it has coffee flavor to it.
And the honey is first.
Yes,
Yeah, absolutely.
the honey is upfront and very forward. This isn't like a like a blackberry mead or a raspberry mead, where the raspberry is the star of the show. The honey is still very much the star of the show. Anyway,
so now we're talking about, since we're getting right at the edge of the fall.
Yeah, and getting into those cooler months, it's time to start planning.
Yeah, because, and I've said this before, if you want to have a very easy way of making mead for the season, start a year before. That way you have time to make and age.
And you've got stuff that's in season for it
Yeah, right
in that
there.
season. Yeah.
So that it's, so it just makes it easier all the way around. So let's start off with just the front one, the pumpkin spices, like the
The
cinnamon and the clove and the nutmeg, things like that.
sure,
The
sure.
warming spices.
Yeah, those baking spices that are ever so popular. And they get titled pumpkin spices, but you see them just as much in apple pie.
No, yeah.
But those pie spices are, they're first and foremost, they're very prevalent, they're very popular, and for good reason.
And I have made apple pie mead, and it's very pleasant.
Oh yeah, same.
I mean, if you add a nice drizzle of honey to your apple pie you eat at a picnic, that's kind of what my mead is like.
And to be honest, my preference as far as pie spice stuff, I would rather do an apple pie mead than a pumpkin pie mead, even though the spice profile is mostly the same. The apples and the little acidity you get from that, those are just, it makes a nicer flavor profile to me, and I'm not that big of a fan of pumpkin pie,
And that's
honestly.
all, but I am a huge fan of pumpkin pie, and I have successfully failed three, no, not three, four attempts at making pumpkin pie spiced mead.
So tell us about your white whale captain
Oh
Ahab.
my, well, there was on my ship. And I have, when I first started, I did straight pumpkin puree. And when I finished, I had a lovely traditional mead. I tasted zero pumpkin in that entire batch.
Oof, how much pumpkin puree did you use? Like,
I made a 2 gallon batch, and I used four cans. I
okay,
looked at the.
yeah,
I used four cans of puree in
sure.
that, and I tasted zero pumpkin at the end of it.
And I feel like 4 cans for 2 gallons is not unheard of.
It's a very significant amount.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured I was worried about having too much pumpkin flavor, and I couldn't taste any in the result after. After I finished, I let it sit for 3 4 months, but it was no pumpkin I could taste at all.
That's
Then
frustrating as
you
hell.
said, "Why don't you try some squash,
Yeah, butternut squash.
butternut squash with it?" So I did that, and I did 50-50.
Okay.
I didn't do as much pumpkin as I did the first time, but I did 50-50. It was like maybe 2 to 3 cans worth of the two of them together, and that worked not at all. I got more squash flavor than pumpkin flavor, but it was closer.
Okay.
My third attempt was, Tracy told me, roast them.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, let's try that. Roasting. Wonderful. And I roasted it. I made them a nice caramel color. I mashed the bejesus out of them, stuck them in a bag, put them in there, and I tasted like a bready, slightly pumpkin flavor, like a light pumpkin to bread flavor. Now,
Okay.
wasn't mad.
At least you're getting something,
I'm
right?
getting something out of it. And this, I only did a 1 gallon batch that time, so it was like maybe 10 ounces of each.
Okay.
Because I was getting very frustrated. If I can get it small, I'll just scale up. But my fourth time, I got a decent pumpkin flavor with zero pumpkin and roasted squash. Where I got my pumpkin flavor, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes right now, was I put the cinnamon and clove and nutmeg and the pumpkin spices in. And I got a better spiced mead with not much pumpkin flavor. I didn't have enough pumpkin to make me happy. But I'm homing in on it. I'm getting closer. But my next round, I want that pumpkin flavor. I don't know how I'm going to get it at this point, but that's what I want.
Yeah, no, I think the I th it feels like you're on the right track. It feels like you're at least making progress, batch after batch.
Now I am falling. I'm failing forward every time, so I'm happy enough with that, because if I'm going to fail, at least fail, learn something in the process.
Sure.
And that's so. But another things we could do. We talked about cider last time. And fall is a great time for apple ciders, pear
Oh,
ciders,
hell yes.
pumpkin pear cider. All these ciders out there that are just so
I mean,
dominant
the apple crop is coming in. Cider is getting pressed fresh
right
as we
now.
speak.
And we are fortunate enough that we don't live a horribly long distance away from Lewisburg Meat
Apple cider, yeah.
apple cider place.
And I know for a fact, because I've talked to people, they ship all over the damn country.
If you can get Lewisburg apple cider, you are getting the blue ribbon of apple cider. I kid you not, because Tracy in Texas gets it. Mm-hmm. People up in Minnesota get it. I've talked to all these people all over the country. If they have the choice, that's what they get.
And it's preservative free, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is straight up apple cider.
Which is very nice. It's probably pasteurized or something like that.
It is pasteurized, but that's just to keep it a little bit longer on the shelf.
Yeah, it's got to stay shelf stable long enough to get to your house.
Yeah, but you do not want to wait till next year to start it. You want to get it started as soon as you can.
Right. And I mean, the beautiful thing about cider is that there is so much you can do with it. Mm-hmm. Like, realistically, we could do a little...
That's actually what I do my pumpkin pie made out of. I'd use the Lewisburg cider.
Nice. We could do just basically, we could do a cider for a start and keep it like, you know, 4 or 5%, maybe add some pumpkin spice, and that'd be nice. We could do a session sizer and add a little bit of honey, make it in that, you know, 7-8% range.
Yeah.
We could go a standard strength sizer and go 12-14%. Hell, we could do, I've seen Polish style meads with apple juice, apple flavor in them. God, they got to be in like that 18% range.
Oh,
so
I've not tried anything that powerful yet.
Is the mix of where you kind of have to get your apple flavor versus your alcohol and your other ingredients going. But I mean, it is such a versatile flavor because it is kind of, it's not a heavy handed flavor, that it can kind of take center stage, and you can just kind of, you know, you...
The light Christmas of an apple is undeniable. Everybody says, ooh, nice. Yeah,
exactly.
Whatever apple you prefer. But now let's step into other areas that are not apple pumpkin.
Right.
But there's pecan. Now, I personally do not know how to get a nut flavor in a mead. But there's got to be a way.
Yeah. Well, and hey, speaking of that, you brought some samples.
I did.
And
now, many, many months ago, we were at Valkyrie. That was back in February. And we saw one of the meads that we really liked had an alcohol cherry washed additive.
Right. It was a bacon fat wash?
It was bacon. It was, yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember right now. But yeah, it was washed. It took bacon fat and they washed it with alcohol to make a flavor for the mead. And it was shockingly good,
yeah,
in my opinion. It really, so we
that was the if I remember right, that was the one that really divided the staff. Like some people were like, "Ugh," some
yeah,
were like, "Oh."
It was very divided. It was either love it or hate it. Mm-hmm. With back where I was, but I thought it was delightful. And you know, Tracy actually introduced me to it because I didn't get a chance until she said, and I hunted that bottle down.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did most of the damage to that bottle. So at the time, I started a peanut butter. I did vodka at the time, and that one completely washed out. It made it horrible, rancid, acrid. I didn't have any good result of that. So I had to redo it, and I did it with grain alcohol. It was 80% grain alcohol.
Okay.
And I brought a sample of that here today. And this is simply grain alcohol with a lot of PB2 powdered peanut butter.
Ratio-wise, are we talking like... half and half? Is it?
No, I like 2/3 of the peanut butter by volume in the jar to the rest of it alcohol. I mean, I filled it like 2/3 of the way with alcohol, and I put enough peanut butter in there so it filled up the rest of it. So I have, after it absorbed the alcohol, it was like 2/3 peanut butter in there. So I have to do a lot of
that. That is wild. And we're sampling this on little teaspoons. I'm getting a smell off of this. And
it's got a really strong peanut.
It does have a really, it has a pronounced, you know, roasty peanut smell to it that is really solid.
And I like that part of it. But now the proof's in the pudding, because when I did this with the vodka, what I got was spoiled peanut in the taste. And I'm hoping that did not happen here.
Mm.
And it didn't. It's strong.
It is.
It's great alcohol. It's that. Yeah. It's got that bite.
It is still 80% grain alcohol. I'm going to do a little crazy. I'm going to try and just, I'm going to get a little more of the alcohol.
You want some of the water there?
Yeah.
Your water bottle here.
Your water bottle is, give me a drop or two.
You say what?
Good.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That's,
yeah, it made a little bit cloudy.
Yeah.
I might put a little mention there. It kind of dribbled out a little bit faster than I wanted it to.
Well, I'm sure you have a much smaller water bottle than I have, so I think it's going to work better for.
Turn on the wash.
Yeah.
Ha.
Shut up, Chris.
I have lousy sense of humor, but I love it.
Yeah, that's a peanut butter flavor, all right.
Okay, so I'm going to try the same thing here. That's better. That's a lot better. I am very happy with that, to be honest.
I feel like that's working really well.
But yeah.
It's obviously it is it's still it's the dry peanut flavor in alcohol,
Yeah.
so
I mean,
there's
it doesn't have that peanut smooth peanut butter feel, but it's got a solid peanut butter flavor there. So yeah, the wash worked out well for me this time.
it's will you remind me, are you using roasted peanuts or are you using PB2?
PB2. I'm
Okay.
using PB2, the dried ground peanut butter.
Which is weird because it has a roasty flavor to it that I
Yeah,
really
and
enjoy.
there's no roast in that PB2. It's just
That
peanut butter
I
dry.
know of. I don't know what their process for making that is, but
Neither
yeah.
do I. But it does have a roastiness, which I am not unhappy about.
Yeah,
Which
yeah.
when I finally get to my fluffer nutter banana meat, that's good, will help, I think. But now the other one I did was I did a rum that's coconut oil. And oh,
Oh
I spilled a bit here. Oh my
no.
gosh.
Man down, man down.
Man down, that's gonna go in my bucket. But this one is straight coconut oil in Bacardi rum. And it was 50-50 on this one by weight. And so I'm gonna try this one here. Now, I did not filter this. I took out the big lumps of the coconut oil. And since it's literally been sitting there since February, and this is now August,
It's had a good 6 months to
it is very much had all I've gotten everything I'm gonna get out of the oil. Oh, that's nice. Very smooth coconut flavor.
Oh yeah, that's it. Well, we're using vodka instead of, I'm sorry, rum instead of the grain alcohol, so it doesn't have the
That horrible bite, yeah. Okay. Well, Jeff's wife has made an appearance in here. She tried it. She th there was a no.
No,
It
it
was
was a yes.
a yes. Okay, that was a dangerous no. Okay.
It was a my heart.
Oh, my heart. This
In a
is
good way, not a bad way.
okay. I from the shake of her head, I thought she was no.
Me as well.
But anyway, but that it actually worked really, really well.
Yeah.
I probably didn't need to let it sit that long, but that was good. But anyway, so yeah, that one worked out well.
But yeah, dude, I think in both of these cases, I mean, it's you got a solid start on these.
Yeah, and I'm thinking my next adventure, I'm going to go into this. I may do a whiskey with the peanut butter because that sounds like a good combination to me
Yeah,
in my head.
the I saw some a similar thing on Bourbon Tribe's YouTube channel where they were doing bourbon and peanut butter, and they had a similar idea of, you know, hey, let's make what is it,
The screwball.
screwball? Yeah, it's
Screwball.
screwball
Screwball
whiskey.
is a publicly, commercially available peanut butter whiskey. I've had Screwball.
But let's make it good, was their idea.
Yeah, I
And
will tell you, Screwball ain't bad. It is not bad. I mean, if I wanted to make a peanut butter whiskey drink, I would use it. How I think we can do better.
Well, and I the from their point of view, for you know, for their defense, they are whiskey snobs.
Okay, I'm not.
Yeah.
My wife is. I'm not. You know, in case I've never mentioned it before, my wife can crush me in a drinking contest.
Their whole thing is, hey, we're whiskey snobs. All they do is review whiskey. They have branched into making their own whiskey and trying, you know, fermentation and distillation related like hacks and tips and tricks, which makes it an entertaining little challenge to watch at times. But yeah, no, they
Shout out to them.
right, cool. I keep making the fun stuff, guys, because it's weird and it's interesting and.
Yeah, maybe I can reach out and see if they can help me out with that then. I'm
I
sure they would be
mean,
horrible at, they'd be, oh, we couldn't possibly. I'm sure that we keep secrets like well, Mason's.
you realize if we did any kind of like friendly collaboration with them, we would have to go for a whiskey or scotchy kind of meat.
Don't know. The tragedy. I
I
mean,
know, sad.
well, how could we pop? Okay, I'm in. Okay, now also pear's a huge one.
Yes, and it's kind of at best a sideline from Apple. They are Very similar, like I think they're like tangentially related. They fruit around the same time. The content for making a cider or a sizer or a what do they call it, perry, something like that. They just play so nicely together, and the delicate flavor of the pear as opposed to apple, I enjoy that a little bit more than apple
Yeah, I'll be
sometimes.
honest, so do I. My wife makes a fantastic spiced pear pie that we plan to bring over here sometime this fall.
That would be lovely. I'm looking forward to that.
Ever since she made me a pear pie many years ago, it quickly became my favorite pie of all time. I kid you not.
I believe that. I believe that. And yeah, no, pear is the only bear I have for pear, but is finding enough pear juice, you know?
That's hard.
Yeah, it's not like we live next to a pear orchard
No.
that's an hour away and we'll fill this gallon by the gallon buckets and stuff like we can with Lewisburg.
I'd be willing to, maybe go in with you on getting a juice press thing, a professional grade one. We'll just juice our own dang things, That may not be a horrible idea there.
Well, hey, our friends and sponsors, Bacchus and Barleycorn, will also rent a fruit press.
Oh,
So,
excellent. Even better.
yeah, we can, as long as, we're willing to put the effort into cleaning it up, cool.
Again, once again, okay, I'm
And
out.
I don't think it's even that expensive. I think it's like 20, 30 bucks for the weekend.
If you've ever never heard about Box Barleycorn from us, which I
Are you
shocked.
not listening? Are you not
Really?
listening?
But not only do they have the parts, the ingredients you need, and the expiration you need, they have equipment like filtering machine and the apple pear press and things like that. They'll rent to you for a day or
Yeah,
so you can
and
make your job easier. We never brought that up before.
right. They have equipment for rent. It's not like a big part of their business, but it's a part of their business that they have the ability to do. And hey, you know what else they do in the fall that requires equipment that you can also rent if they're not using it?
But
The wine harvest.
I didn't even know that. I knew nothing about this.
Yeah, I need to check with Jake and see when that's going to happen, if it's going to happen this year. But I mean, usually this is the time of year in that, late part of summer, early part of fall, where Lodi grapes out in the Napa region of California are coming off of the stem, and you can get lugs of grapes. To make a 5, 6 gallon batch, you usually need, like, with the little crates of the full grapes, they usually call a lug. You need 2 to 3 of those
Take a batch.
to make a batch generally. And Bacchus will order in by the lug or by the green juice pail. You ask for what you want. And if you're getting the whole grapes in the lug, they have their grape press, or sorry, their grape crusher machine out there. And usually on a voluntary basis, they've got, people out in the back parking lot just hanging out crushing grapes, and you get to leave with a bucket full of crushed grape. Or you can, if you've got your own crusher, or you just want to like keep the stems or whatever, you have options.
Look,
And
I did not know that was a thing.
yeah, I need to make sure that that's still happening
If
before
that's still
fall shows
happening,
up.
we're gonna let's post it on our website.
Yeah, we'll give them a little
Because let's
side
give
link
them a heads up
because
on that, because that can be something. Because I've not made a grape mead, and that's gonna be a
right.
thing.
I mean, that the term we're looking for there is piment, my friend. It's a
Pilot, yeah.
wine mead hybrid. And sure, you can make piment with a wine kit, easy peasy. They have a great selection of wine kits at Bacchus, because I mean, Jackie was more of a wine guy than a beer or mead guy, if you ask me. It felt like he was way more passionate about wine than other options. At least when I knew him, when I was working there briefly. And yeah, no, you can totally use a basic wine kit, add some honey, add some other ingredients to make a piment really easily. But with your own, grapes that you've crushed yourself, or at least helped crush, that it's even more fun,
Yeah,
right?
we'll have a
And
great thing come up here soon. We also have cranberry.
that's true. Cranberries. I've not tried as many iterations as cranberry as you have pumpkin, but I've tried a couple. And cranberries are pain in the butt. But it is such a lovely fall flavor. And the idea of like, hey, we're going to Thanksgiving, let's bring a cranberry mead.
And cranberry cinnamon is very popular.
That is. It is very similar. It is very popular. The problem I've had with you know how cranberries are harvested, right?
Oh yeah.
They flood the bog.
And all the spiders climb up on the guys trying to get all the cranberries off there.
But the cranberries float,
yeah,
right? And that is a problem if you're making a whole fruit cranberry mead.
Yeah.
Because the cranberries float.
Yeah.
So I did an experiment the last time I did this. Like, do I really need to crush all these cranberries?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, basically. I left like a quarter of my cranberries uncrushed and they totally floated and nothing happened. And they were basically wasted space in my fermenter that I didn't get mead out of.
Also, if you have any kind of fruit that floats, just, I've thrown this out before. I'm gonna throw it again because it's relevant. If you have stuff that's floating in your fermenter, weigh it down with glass beads, stainless steel weights, whatever, anything that will not absorb or flavor your ferment batch. And I just get the dragon tear glass
Yeah, the
bead
little
things.
the decorative little glass beads. Yeah.
Yeah, from the Dollar Tree or whatever general store you go to, and put them in the bag like 2 or 3 pounds and let it sink. It works fine. But let's think, but there's also a bunch of things that people, when they hear it, yeah, it's full. But they don't think about it, like masala chai.
Okay, yeah.
It's got the same flavors as like pumpkin spice and all these other things here.
It really is a baking spice kind of centric flavor for
Exactly.
sure.
Difference is they have some lactose in it, which you can also add to meat. We've said this before many
We could
times.
also use some tea in that too,
Yeah,
and
exactly.
the same idea. We're just hell. We could just get some masala chai like tea bags and do a tea mead like that.
And how about
It,
butterscotch?
I love butterscotch.
I know you do. That's why I wanted to bring that one up. That's one of your favorite things.
I don't know how to make that flavor happen without with ingredients and stuff, because that's it's a like a caramelized sugar and stuff like that kind of a flavor,
It
but
sounds like something we need to experiment with. I'll add to our list.
yeah, or else give a call to our friends over at Amoretti, at
I'm ready,
least.
man, to have some flavor like that.
It wouldn't
Another one
surprise
is
me at all.
bourbon or even bourbon and caramel. Now, we already know how to make caramelized honey.
Yes, we do.
We've already talked about this. A little bourbon, like the wash I made right here today, just add a little bourbon to it. Get that flavor out of it.
Bourbon Barrel Stout Braggot just
There you
came to
go.
mind. That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, and this, and guys, this is how ideas form. You run by things, you brainstorm, and get this. How about this one? This one's I is a once again, I just said it. Obviously, it's a fall flavor, but it's fig.
Yes.
But nobody talks about fig as far as fermentation, but you can.
Yeah.
It's for
Well,
like any other.
and the bear here is like fresh figs versus preserved figs versus those are two very different flavors,
Yeah,
you
they
know?
are.
I mean, if you can source enough fresh figs to make a batch of mead, hi, my name's
Yeah.
Jeff. Get in touch.
Actually, I will tell you right now, you can get dried figs, fresh dried figs, at the couple of Middle Eastern markets I have in town.
Yeah.
Women's of the River Market. They have them.
Well, and the dried figs, it's a different flavor, but it's still very nice.
Yeah.
But like figs, dates, raisins, those like dark dried fruit kind of flavors. We could even throw our buddy prune in there.
Stop it. Stop with the
And
prune. Come on, man. You're killing me here.
I think like those dark, like kind of jammy fruit, dried fruits, and some Boucher honey, nice higher ABV kind of. That's a late fall winter sipper
Oh,
right
yeah.
there for
That'd
sure.
be awesome.
And hey, circling back to cranberry though, I just confirmed to be sure that I can actually make this happen. Vintner's Best has a cranberry,
They have a cranberry.
so
I should have known that I had one.
you do.
I've never used it, but it's in my stockpile of. Okay, I haven't made it because my wife will never help me with it because she's allergic to cranberry.
That's unfortunate.
But that just means I have to come over here and have you guys help me out with the.
Okay, twist my arm.
Okay, well, as long as I can twist your arm hard enough. But that these are some of the flavors, pecan, hazelnut. These are also other flavors in fall that we can work with. Now, mind you, these are not exclusive flavors. These are things you can combine into a
Sure.
cocktail of flavor that you can enjoy in the fall. On my list here that I've pulled up is like pumpkin cheesecake. I don't know how to get a cheesy flavor, but I know how to get a milky flavor. milky
Right, right,
feel.
right.
And there's one brown butter. I would like to try meat like that, I'll be honest.
I wonder, because we know if you put fats in a meat and let it ferment, the fats are probably going to get rancid.
Yeah, probably.
That's, but when you make the brown butter in a saucepan or whatever, you end up with little bits of the solid stuff at the bottom, the butter solids get kind of brown, and that's where a big chunk of that flavor comes from, right? Could we put those, carefully scrubbed of the oil or the ghee, the fatty part of the butter into a mead and get that flavor out of it?
Because of a past experience I had at one of the customer appreciation days at Bacchus and Barleycorn, a man came in with a seltzer that was peanut butter and jelly. He used actual peanut butter and jelly in his seltzer. And what he did was he chilled it so the oils went to the top and he skimmed it. So I cannot say you cannot do it because his seltzer was amazingly good. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm having drinking alcoholic seltzer of peanut butter and jelly. I'm 4 years old getting drunk. This is awesome. But it has to be able to be possible because he used actual oily peanut butter in his seltzer, his alcoholic seltzer, and it was successful. It has to be possible.
Well, and with your, we've talked about using this for a fluffernutter with banana. We could get the grapes going. I don't know. I've not had anything like Concord grape other than Manischewitz wine. And Manischewitz has its place. It has its reputation. But what about like a raspberry or a strawberry and peanut butter?
And you're at, and this is something that you that depending on who your judge is at a contest, if it's jammy, you make it deducted. I'm aiming for it at this point.
In this case, you're saying, hey, I'm making a peanut butter and
Jelly,
cream
jam,
mead.
mead.
And I think in that case, for accuracy representation, you can be forgiven for some jamminess there,
Yeah.
right?
Because yeah, I've heard several judges at one time or another say, you don't want jammy. It can't be too jammy. And that is such a vague term for me because that jamminess tastes delightful at times.
It can taste good. And I think when they're saying they don't want jammy, what they're really saying is you want it to taste fresh. So the fact is that what do we call jam and jelly and things like that? They're fruit preserves. The preservation aspect of it makes it not fresh.
And that's fine. But again, this is about what you want in the end and work backwards. Now, the other only other thing I have listed here that I really want to bring out. Now we could combine in caramel apple, caramel fig, caramel
Sure.
hazelnut oil. Is ginger. I've made lemon ginger mead. Now I've made lemon ginger mead with the hazy lemon that you get from Vintner, which if you want to get it from Bacchus, tell them in advance they have to order it. Because time and time again they say, oh, it tastes like Pledge furniture cleaner. And I don't know if it's the ginger or what I do or the voodoo I do, but because I use ginger in it, it doesn't taste like Pledge, it tastes like a lemon ginger drink. And it's very pleasant.
Now, you've never made it just like by the label as stated. It's always
No,
been
I
added honey, added ginger, added stuff like that. So we can't speak to, oh yeah, no, it does kind of have a pledgy kind of a character to it. And again, with certain smells, certain spices, we do have that pre-programmed stuff. Like I've said before with roses, you have to be real goddamn careful because otherwise it smells like biohazard on floor two
No, okay.
at the hospital.
But let's also think when you use a Vintner gallon of syrup, this has for a 5 gallon batch. I use a 7. So it's not the same dilution ratio. And I'm adding honey. This is a completely different game.
Different flavor profile, then you're adding ginger, so there's a lot more math going into it than just, following the basic 1-to-4 ratio on the bottle to make a 5 gallon thing of lemon.
And to be very blunt, I've never followed the adventure on the 5 gallon thing. I always use made a 7. because I'm adding honey. And so it's worked for me.
I usually do a six, but yeah, same idea.
Yeah. So just because somebody's failed at it, I mean, you can't succeed. But this is his place. And now he's pouring more of his coffee meat in there. And like, I hate coffee meat. This is horrible coffee. Please pour more. Anyway, but there's the sweet potato. And we, and what you told me with the, doing the pumpkin and butternut squash.
Right.
And, you know, these things are all fall flavors. So if you're going to do fall for next year, by all means, do that. There's also maple. Bryant, the man who makes the raisin mead that you despise so much that still tastes good, made a maple mead.
Mm-hmm.
Maple syrup mead. And it tasted like very sweet mead. With very little maple flavor until I back sweeten it with more maple syrup.
Yeah. No, the trick to making maple syrup mead is not to put the maple syrup in until it's done fermenting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he found that out the rough way because neither of us knew what to do with that one. But, you know, all these are wonderful fall flavors
mm-hmm.
that you can incorporate into your meat making in, for fall. Now, mind you, we're coming up on 2020, 2025 fall, and we're making it for 2026
right.
fall.
Well, and if we're talking about making things for the long term, we can also talk about stuff like braggots, because braggots are, there's as many kind of braggots as you can make as kinds of beer plus some, because
yep.
the combinations of just honey and different grains that are not specific to a certain beer style, this annoys me to no end that braggots will consistently be tried to tag to a beer style when it's just, you want to be freeform with the grain.
Mm-hmm.
The grain, the honey, the mixture there. Like, if I'm still annoyed that, you know, I mentioned using a Pilsner malt and some honey with a Vosquite yeast in a braggot, and I got dinged because it wasn't Pilsner-y. I didn't try to make a Pilsner. I just used Pilsner grains.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's, this is my annoyance.
That's one of your pet peeves. I got it.
But we can, this is, if we're doing like a long-term storage, some of those, use some of those heavier ABV styles of beers as a good idea, a good start. Scotch beers, stouts, especially like a Baltic Porter, the really high ABV little, maybe not go so high on the hops on that one, because the hops will kind of fade out, especially if you're doing a long-term storage for this.
Mm-hmm.
But those higher ABV, you know, darker beer styles, those are great for long-term storage. Those are great for a braggot combination kind of a thing. And, you know, come a year from now, you get something with those nice roasty, grainy notes and some fun honey character to it. That's a good fall drink, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. And, but, you know, and if you're a beer person, awesome. Then, you know, a braggot is your game. But, yeah, okay, I have a question for you about braggots because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do the same flavorings in a braggot as you can in the mead for fall flavors? The gingers or the spices or.
I don't see why not. The thing is,
the pear or the apple. Or,
are you trying to hew towards, are you making a braggot that's trying to hew towards a particular beer style, then maybe you're a little bit more limited in what that beer style entails. But by the same token, there are plenty of people right now coming out with the pumpkin spice beers
True.
For the year. And, you know, are they doing that as a stout? Are they doing that as a lager? Are they doing it as a brown ale? Whatever.
Or even a cider.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't see why you couldn't. If your goal is to do, like, you know, the fig and date, you know, Baltic Porter
mm-hmm.
with some cardamom and some nutmeg and some star anise. Why not?
Okay. Yeah. Not being a beer person, I have to refer to the person who is a beer person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what I was doing. But, so there we go. I mean, but, that's some of the things that we'd like to write. Again, we'd like you to write in, tell us what you want to see us do. Because I think I mentioned last week that I have an insanely large number of fermenting vessels in my possession that I have acquired through various means of purchase, inheritance, and my brother-in-law saying, "Here, I'm not doing this as much. You do it." Okay. And so, and bequeathed to me from a couple of sources. There's no reason why I can't just make more and just make a rack of experiments.
Well, and again, this is us. We are on our own journey here. We're exploring, we're learning, we're growing, and we like having you guys involved with that. That's part of the fun for us too. That said, what do you guys want to see? What's interesting to you guys? And I know I don't know if you saw the video I sent you a few days back, the guy on YouTube that made mead with edible bugs.
I saw that.
I'm not willing to go
Thank you,
there.
no.
No, that's
Not my game.
yeah, that's I good for him, I guess.
Mean, if edible bugs are your thing, good for you.
Yeah, it's
I'm
they may well be the future of protein, on planet Earth.
but yeah.
Yeah, no.
I don't even want pork, beef, or chicken in my meat, to be honest, so I don't know I'd want bugs.
Yeah, no, the meat is what I drink, is what I eat when I'm drinking the mead. I don't want it in the mead.
Yeah, I appreciate you sending it to me, but it was kind of, in my opinion, gross.
Yeah, and I've there are content creators out there doing gross stuff for the sake of, hey, should we do this? I don't think we're ever going to be that,
That's not us.
yeah, that brand of, but
I'll be the more vegetarian, fruitarian mead maker. Thank you very much. But anyway, well, Jeff, thanks for having me over again. This has been awesome. I'm hoping you got some great ideas going out there.
yeah, this is very
Please call, and also, like Jeff said earlier in the episode, tell us what you like for rewards if we start the Patreon again.
yeah,
Our
absolutely.
Key Club is, I think it was called.
The key holders
Key
club,
Holders
yes.
Club. That
Yeah,
was it, yeah.
if we get that going again, any my former co-host Ryan worked in advertising and he had his swagger going, so he could reach out to a bunch of different people and be like, hey, bottle openers, cool. I still have mine that he got for us. They're awesome. And he had swag, he got stickers, he got little pins and buttons and all kinds of stuff. I don't do that for a day job.
No,
I'm an
but
introvert
maybe we
and
should call him
commercial.
and say, "Can give us a number or two?" You know?
The point being, yeah, no, we I don't have easy access to a bunch of free stuff from a bunch of different manufacturers at this point, but what can we offer you guys? What sounds interesting?
What
Or
would you
what,
like to get?
yeah, or we are both relatively crafty people. We could throw together some
I said it before in this very episode. We are creative geniuses. Whether that's true or not is kind of up to how you define genius, but we do pretty good. So let us know.
yeah, would absolutely reach out to us, info@themeadhouse.com, on Facebook at The Mead House. Tell us what sounds interesting to you guys. What we can do to kind of give you that little push.
Okay.
And yeah, thank you
Have
guys.
a great day. Take care and good meetings.